You take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Job chapter 12 tonight. The time that we have remaining, I want to finish up this little short series that we've been doing on what do you do when advice is just wrong. And we looked at three principles that should always be in our hearts as we consider advice that comes from individuals. People will always, for the most part, be quick to give advice, but sometimes it's not the right advice. Number one, is the advice scripture-centered? Is the advice scripture-centered? Very important. Number two, is the advice mixed with worldly philosophy? Now that's where we get into trouble. We start taking a little bit of the scripture and we start putting in all kinds of ideas that come from the world, and that's going to give you something that's not going to be useful for the Christian. Number three, is the advice contrary to God's order? Now, I use those words very carefully because we're talking about how God has created His world, and does the advice that He gives go contrary to how His order operates? And we find that these three friends of Job gave advice that was contrary to what God has established in creation. Even after the fall, we see and understand and know things that are taking place that went contrary to what these individuals were saying. In essence, what they were doing was they were filled with intellectual conceit and they were just spouting off their ideas of why Job was having all of these problems, why everything had been taken away from him, why he was having serious health issues. They had blamed it on the fact that he had committed some secret sin that he was keeping from knowledge from others and that God was punishing him for that. And we know from the testimony that God gives in Job chapter 1 that that is not the case. Job did not know or realize that there had been a conversation that took place in heaven between Satan and God regarding Job. Job doesn't know this, and so he's trying to figure out what's taking place, what's going on. Why have I lost my children? Why have I lost so much of my possessions? Why have I lost my animals that I had and my servants and things. Even my wife has asked me to curse God and to die. And my health has been taken away. And all of these things have piled on Job. And there's some lessons here because we go through many times the very same thing. Maybe not to the same measure as Job did. But I think all of us could say we've been through times where it seemed like everything was piling on. Do I hear an amen? Where it just seemed like everything, just all kinds of things are happening and you were putting out fires all the time and fixing this and something happens and then you get bad news on top of that. But what do you do in those situations? Well, there are people that are always quick to offer advice, but you have to be careful because sometimes that advice is misdirected. And so we want to look tonight at Job's answer to this particular situation. I want you to look down with me, please, to verse 7. This is where Job goes with his three friends. And of course, they don't buy Job's answer. They start redirecting the conversation to other things to try to get it off of the fact that he just really pounced on them with their ideas of their intellectual answers to the problem. And so he says in verse 7, "But ask now the beasts." Now notice what he does. He says, I want you to go talk to the animals for just a moment. They've got something to tell you. But talk or ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Now what are they going to declare? Look at verse 9. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Let's pray. Father, bless these few minutes that we have together tonight. Lord, we want to hear from your word. When we give advice to others, Father, we want it to be centered in the Scriptures. We don't want it to be mixed with ideas and opinions that we have, because many times we're wrong. We don't like to admit that, but we're oftentimes wrong because we have mixed what we've heard with things from the Bible. And those are not things that can help your people. And so I pray, Father, as we consider the message that Job has from creation, that we might take to heart and we might learn something tonight that would help be helpful and beneficial for us when we hear advice, but also as we may give advice, that it might be centered in Thee. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, we said in our third lesson of things you need to keep in mind when you listen to advice that may come your way, is the advice contrary to God's order? How God has established things in the universe. How God has established things in His creation. How God has established and told us things in His Word about His creation. And Job takes us and said, listen to what the beasts have to say. They'll answer your question. Listen what the earth has to say. The fishes of the sea, the fowls of the air, they will tell you. And there are four things that I want to mention that they bring to light from this passage of Scripture that I think will be helpful to us. You know, you and I need to point them to revealed truth. But God has also revealed truth in His creation. There are things that are carried out every day at God's command. You sin against the command of gravity, and you'll pay for it. You know, these knuckleheads that jump off buildings and film themselves. I do not understand that for the life of me. And if I had a child that was doing that, I'd be pretty upset. First of all, because I had such an ignorant child that would be doing something like that. But secondly, that it would be my child that would be doing that. All right? And we have that, and they put it on YouTube, and they put it on there, and then they have to take them to the hospital. They jump off of a building onto the back end of a truck. Oh, that's funny. Until they break their leg or miss the back of the truck. Or do something worse, go through the windshield of the truck instead of going through, and then they've got all kinds of damage. Listen, you and I need to understand that God wants us to follow the instruction of His Word, and He wants us to pay attention to His creation. There's so much to learn, and people today, they don't have time for it. Where's my cell phone? How much of creation do you see when you do this? Walking along? They've shown on television two or three times people that flip over railings, people that fell down those revolving stairs. You know, they just flipped over the side, didn't even see it, falling down the stairs and had to take them to the hospital. You cannot see what God has created when your eyes are down on something that man made. Now, I know you have to send texts. I have to send texts. I have to answer the phone, those kind of things. But my life is not surrounded by this. As you can tell, I've got the junkiest phone in the world. I'm surprised I didn't get laughter from the young people when I pulled this out. This is one of those cheap AT&T phones that didn't cost a thing. All right? I've had it for over a year now. The screen's all scratched up and buttons are scraped up on it. And I have to press two or three of them two or three times to get them to work now. But, you know, I really could care less. When cell phones first came out, I thought I had to have one. Dr. Hobbs, please let me have a cell phone. I want to have one of those. You know, we got to stay in contact with each other. Now, if I never saw one of these things again, I'd be the happiest person in the world. But I have to put it on my person every day and carry it with me because there's important things that have to be done. But you know what? There's so much to be learned from God's creation, and we're missing it today. Number one, what will they tell you? What will they proclaim? Well, let's go to the animal kingdom, and this is what they'll say. We did not make ourselves. Our breath comes from God's hand. That's what it says in this passage. That's what the animals say. We didn't make ourselves. I didn't make myself. God made me. The breath that's in me, God gave to me. That's the first thing that's said here. The second thing is, nor did our fellow creatures make themselves. Now, what does man do today? Well, the Bible's good for me, but you know, it may not be good for you. Have you heard that come out of the lips of somebody? Justifying somebody else's religion? Justifying somebody else's lifestyle? You know, the Bible is fine for me. I'm going to live a moral lifestyle. But you know, if somebody has a differing opinion, you know, that's all right. Is it? Is it now? And are you going to justify somebody's lifestyle because you don't want to come across as abrasive or you don't want to come across as somebody that's not relevant? And so what you do is you confirm somebody else's sin because you won't speak a word of truth. You know what the animals say? We didn't make ourselves, and the other creatures that are out here that we come, they didn't make themselves either. That we learn from the Word of God here. Listen, you know what you and I need to do? We recognize that evolution is wrong. At least I pray we do. I don't know anymore. I used to think that everybody was on board, but you know what I'm finding today? We're finding some of our scientists and some of our Christian colleges are debating and discussing the possibility of millions of years. You know, it could have happened over millions of years. What do we want to do? We're wanting to play nice with those that don't believe the Bible. I still believe that God said on the first day and on the second day and on the third day. I'm sorry. I don't buy into this theistic evolution stuff. I don't buy into this gap theory. I believe that God will explain it all to us, but I believe that there are literal days because God is very clear in His Word. He doesn't pull any punches. And so, what do the animals say? We did not create ourselves. It is God that gave us breath, and He created everything else that we see. All right? Two things that are brought out. Number three, that it is God Almighty who willed to create them and wills to sustain them. That they are sustained, supported, and provided for by Him. Do we go out in the woods and feed the squirrels and the birds? No, because they come to my house. And we feed them there. No. You know, we have pets. And we've had a lot of them in the last few years. I thought about putting a sign out in front of our yard that says the Brainerd Zoo. And I'm not talking about my children. All right, I'm talking about all the pets we've had. We've got a cat. And that cat is very demanding. Every morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, we hear, meow, meow, scratching at the door. She doesn't have any claws, so she paws at the door. Every morning. Okay? And what does she want? She doesn't want to come say good morning to us. She wants us to get up and go feed her. But you know what? God takes care of all the other creation. I've told my cat many times, we've had a conversation, well, go outside and find your own food, but she don't have any claws anymore. All she's got is her rear ones, so all she's going to do is cuff them to death. She demands. We've got a dog, Coco. That dog is very demanding, wants her treats. She wants her food. Why? Because she's depending on us. And I don't know what happened to all of our hamsters that we had, but they were the same way. We had one hamster, bless its heart. He walked into the room and it would climb up and hang from the top of the rail. It would do push pull-ups, stick its nose through. It was a silent message to us. Get down here and feed me. His little dish would be empty. And he'd be up there pulling up, looking, seeing who's come in, so he can beg them to come feed. All right? We've all had creatures and so forth. But you know what? God cares and tends for the billions of animals that are on this earth. Isn't that interesting? God cares for them. We don't have to lay awake at night, I wonder if the fish are going to have enough food tonight. I wonder if all the little creatures out in the woods are going to have enough food. Has anybody be worried about that lately? And isn't it interesting that in all of your lifetime, God's managed to take care of them? Squirrels are all over the place, and they're gathering up acorns and all kinds of stuff because winter's coming. And they're doing that, and God's provided for all of their needs. This third thing is very important. That it is God Almighty who wills to create them and wills to sustain them, that they are sustained, supported, and provided for by Him. Notice this in this passage. Look down here at verse 10. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Very important. Number 4. That we, the animal kingdom, and all of creation are governed, directed, now listen to this third one, and disposed of as He pleases. That's what God does. You ever wonder what happens to all the birds that you see all the animals and so forth that visit your yard, the bluebirds that come in. Well, we've got a flock of bluebirds on this campus. I was walking around Saturday, walking the back campus, going home from working up here at the office, and I saw bluebird after bluebird just fluttering about from oak tree to oak tree. They're just as busy as they could be. How long do they live? What happens to them? When God's finished with them, He disposes. And it's not of their choosing. Not of their choosing, is it? Some of them may die a quiet death. Some of them may die a very violent death. But God sustains and He disposes of them. Now that's a lesson, is it not? The animal kingdom knows this. And then he goes on to say, Job does here, "Doth not the ear try words and the mouth taste his meat?" We have the ability to be able to discern things. We can go and we can sit down and say, "Let me try this." How many of you husbands go up when your wife's fixing something, or maybe it's vice versa, maybe the husband's got his chef hat on and he's making something, the wife comes along and grabs a spoon? What do they do down there in, you told us last night what they do down in Puerto Rico when they want to try something? Everybody uses what? They use the same spoon. They'll bring something out, the restaurateur will bring something out, and there'll be one spoon. And 15 people will line up and they'll all test it and hand the spoon down, they test it, and everybody tries that, and what do you do in Rome? You do as the Romans do, right? If you're going to try it, how would you like to live like that? Well, our brothers and sisters here, they're still alive, so it must be all right. Good. Yeah. You have discernment. You taste things that you like, and then you taste things that your face wrinkles up. I don't think I want that. All right? Now, if we can discern what we like and what we dislike, cannot God's creation discern who made them? And the animal kingdom has already reached its verdict. God made them, God sustains them, and finally God disposes of them at His will. Now this is the lesson of creation. And Job says to his three friends, you do well to go and pay attention to that. Because God is sovereign, and He has chosen to bring all of these things in my life and allow these things to happen for His purposes, for His glory. Sometimes God's purposes, now get this now, is for you to suffer through the rest of your days. Oh, how many people I've met over the years suffering in a nursing home. I've had to say goodbye to some of those folks that were there for years and years and years until finally they succumbed to death, and they were there from the time they were 50. Suffering all those years, debilitating diseases. Sometimes it's God's will for those things to happen, and God has a purpose behind it. It's not always sin. Sometimes it's God's providence and His sovereignty. And what we have to learn to do is to say, Lord, Thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. We have gotten to the culture today where we think we got to alleviate every bit of suffering, we got to alleviate every bit of pain, we got to get rid of every disease or whatever, but sometimes God says, you know what? I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. Can you trust me in your sickness, or can you only trust me when things are going well? God does that to increase our faith, not to decrease our faith. And so may we learn the lesson from the animal kingdom and from God's creation. They know and understand. Our problem is we don't. May we learn, and when the advice comes, put those three questions to it. Again, is the advice Scripture-centered? Number two, is the advice mixed with worldly philosophy? Can you discern that? Have you walked with God and His Word long enough to be able to discern that? And then thirdly, is the advice contrary to God's order? How He's established things. That's what Job appealed to. He went to God's order and He showed them that they were wrong. That God is sovereign and He makes choices that many times affect us, and we don't understand and know what His purposes are, but one day we will. And we'll see the whole picture painted And we'll see, now I know, Lord, when we get in His presence. Now I know why You did this and why You brought this. Because You were working in somebody else's life. And because of that, Your will and Your glory came about. Isn't it wonderful to be able to trust God in things we don't understand? May we not be like Job's friends and miss the whole point. May we be diligent in our study of the Word of God so that we can see and discern what we ought to do, what we ought to be, and how we ought to advise others. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the good Word tonight. Lord, we thank You for the testimony of nature. Your creation bears witness of the fact that You created all things, that You sustain all things, and You dispose of all things in Your time. Help us, Father, to learn that lesson, that we can be satisfied with Your timing, with Your will, with the things that You allow to come into our lives, that we might learn to grow in grace and in knowledge of Thee. Now, Father, bless Your Word. Lord, we're going to be called upon in days ahead to give advice. Young people, friends, family, may our advice be centered solely in the precious Word of God. May it not be mixed with the culture, with the philosophy of this world, and may we, Father, not go contrary to what You've established already in Your creation. Help us to be discerning, and help us to love Thee in all things, for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.